الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. A key component of spiritual progression is the establishment of remorse within oneself. A key component of a person's spiritual progression toward Allah is the establishment of remorse within themselves. It's a very difficult quality to bring in, because we have this tendency to try to excel in everything that we do. And that's a noble thing. And in general, we're sort of taught through society that any mistake or sign of remorse that we experience or express within ourselves is our own flaw. It's a sign of our own weakness. But what's interesting is in deen, the more a person advances toward Allah, and the more spiritually developed and apt they become, and they begin to become more consistent in their deen, they only begin to notice how difficult it is to reach the perfection of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. In fact, it's impossible. And that puts within them a sense of remorse that is a very difficult state to achieve. Okay, let me give you an example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, very simple hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "An-nadamu tawbah," that remorse or regret, I don't want to use the word regret, because regret suggests that maybe there was an ulterior, there was something else that could have happened. But let's say remorse is tawbah, it is repentance. Or the scholars say, it's part of repentance. Meaning a person cannot turn back to Allah and repent for a mistake that they've made unless they have a sense of remorse within themselves. It's a critical part of anything. I mean, this makes sense. Anytime you want to apologize to someone for something wrong you've done, you have to feel bad about it. And if the person senses that you don't actually feel bad about the harm that you brought on to me, it's not really going to be accepted. It's common sense. But in particular, when it comes to Allah, a critical component of our tawbah, of our repentance, is remorse. Now, to highlight this, I'll give you an example from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Adam alayhi salam in the Quran. It's a very lengthy story, and it comes in two different places, and we all know the story of Adam and his wife Hawa alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was created by Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told all the angels essentially to bow down to Adam alayhi salam. And of course, everyone agreed to this except for Iblis. And Iblis said, I'm not going to bow down. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَّارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. I'm created from fire. Fire is better than dirt or clay. There's no way I'm bowing down to him. So, of course, Iblis is then expelled from that space. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Adam and his wife Hawa, أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. The two of you get to reside in Jannah. Enjoy Jannah, right? Take in the sights, take in the sounds, take in the smells. This is where you're going to reside indefinitely, right? I mean, not indefinitely, but it's just, this is your space. Now imagine, you know, what an incredible blessing that was. And of course we know the story, but eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ فَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثِ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Do whatever you want in Jannah. That, like, the sky's the limit here. You could do anything. You can see what you want, eat what you want, taste what you want, smell what you want, everything. But there's one tiny exception. And that one small exception, لا تقرب هذه الشجرة. Don't come near this tree. Meaning, don't partake of this tree. Keep away from it. Everything else you can do except for this. So what ended up happening? Shaitan, he sort of deceived Adam alayhi salam. The Quran talks about this. وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. You know the real reason why? He's saying to Adam alayhi salam, do you know the real reason why Allah doesn't want you to partake of this tree? You know what the real reason is? Because if you partake in this of this tree, then you'll become immortal. And so this is the reason that you aren't to partake of this tree. But if you want to be here forever, then you should partake of it. What's the big deal? It's just a tree. So فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. Shaitan sort of tricked them, right? He tricked them. And what happens? They partake of the tree. They partake of the tree. Now, the Quran talks about فَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. They sort of stumbled. We don't say there was like a sin per se, but they sort of stumbled on this. And of course, the consequence of it was that now they were going to be placed onto the earth. Now, what's incredible about this story is the reaction or response of Adam alayhi salam to this, right? The reaction or the response of Adam alayhi salam to this. You know, the scholars, the Mufassirun say that when he made this mistake, when he recognized, not just him, his wife as well, recognized they made this mistake, and they recognized who this transgression was against, which was Allah, they were immediately remorseful. Immediately. So much so, the Mufassirun say, it was almost as if they were like shell-shocked. Like, he didn't even know what to say. He didn't even know what to say. So the Quran says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. So what happens? Allah teaches him or tells him certain words to recite. Right? Recognizing this officious interaction, Allah gives him certain words to recite. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. And what's the effect or the consequence of Adam alayhi salam and his wife reciting these words? فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately, فَتَابَ, the fa is suggesting immediacy, immediate effect. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him, overlooked it all. So what are those words, right? One, he's in complete shock, he's in remorse. And then the Quran actually tells us what those words are, and it's incredibly powerful because it highlights to us how important remorse is in general. I mean, in particular when we've made a mistake. How important remorse is in particular when we made a mistake. But just as a whole, how valuable being able to bring in this quality of remorsefulness before Allah in every state we find ourselves in is. So what the Quran says, قَالَا, the two of them said, Adam and his wife, alayhi salam, said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Our Lord, we've wronged ourselves. I'm going to come back to I'm going to break this down in just a moment. Our Lord, we've wronged ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And if you don't forgive us, and you don't have mercy upon us, لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Then most certainly, undoubtedly, will be from those who are eternally at a loss. Eternally at a loss. Now, I want you to think about the scenario here. Look at the attitude of Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. And this comes early in our history, of human history, right? I mean, not only is this coming early in history, meaning this is a lesson for every single person that's ever going to come on the face of this earth and how they should turn back to Allah remorsefully. In addition to that, Allah is saying in the Quran that because of these words that he taught and they recited, فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ, that they were immediately forgiven by Allah. He accepted it. Which then tells us that we too, when we want to express remorse and when we want to turn back to Allah, we use these exact same words. Right? Because the Quran documents these words and says, okay, these are the words that were the effect of which was guaranteed forgiveness. So we should obviously try to listen in and say, what exactly was he saying? What was he communicating? What were the two of them saying to Allah? Were they saying, oh Allah, forgive us. We're so sorry. Like, you know, oh Allah, have mercy on us. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, we've wronged ourselves. The first thing they do is they accept fault. They accept fault. Right? There's no excuse that they do two things. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. One, they accept fault, saying we wronged ourselves. Two, they appreciate that this they brought onto themselves as well. Right? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Number two, that that they're going to have to suffer the consequences of this as well. Like, we brought this upon ourselves. In both scenarios, there's no excuses brought by either of them. Think about it, right? Like, what could they have said? They could have said, like, look, you know, ultimately, it was just a tree. Like, what's the big deal? I mean, if you think about all the sins that human beings can commit, right? going near a tree, there's nothing haram per se about that. It's a tree. I mean, haram because, I mean, if Allah tells you not, but otherwise, it's a tree. You know, we think of big sins, drinking, gambling, you know, all these sorts of things, shirk, disobeying or disbelieving in Allah. These are major sins. But it's just a tree. Ultimately, they could have made some excuse, but no, they said, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if in our eyes this is something that is bad or not. Allah Ta'ala told us to stay away from it. We did this. We accept fault. The scholars also say, and it's very interesting. Look, you know, the consequence of Adam and Hawa partaking of the tree was what? Was that all of human beings, all of humanity was now going to be placed on the earth, and now they were going, rather than residing in Jannah blissfully, now all of us were going to have to go through this test. So you can imagine the consequence of how big of a deal this was. Now, it's very interesting because in the Quran, there's a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels that I intend or I'm going to appoint on the earth like vicegerents. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Meaning people are going to be representing him on earth. Now, the scholars say this conversation between Allah and the angels happened before Adam alayhi salam had even come into existence, which means it's possible that Allah Ta'ala already, this plan was already hashed out, right? And Adam alayhi salam and his wife were just going to be the reason that we were all going to have to be here, or the mechanism by which we will all end up on earth. So the scholars say, some of the Mufassirun say, Shaytan said this to Adam alayhi salam, even communicated this to them. Now, they could have said in return, like, hold on, this plan, you know, we were just caught in the middle of all this, right? I mean, human beings were all supposed to end up in here. We were sort of caught up in this whole middle of this tree, and then we partook of it, and then we became the, you know, mechanism by which human beings have to be here. This was going to happen anyway. You know, it's like saying, well, if I'm going to commit a sin, if Allah's already written it, it's going to happen anyway. What's the big deal? I'm not planning it. Allah already wrote it down. These are the excuses that we come up with in our own minds. But Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam did not come up with a single excuse, because that is that contradicts the nature of true believers of Allah. They never come up with an excuse, not before Allah at least. Yes, you and I can come up with excuses for mistakes we make at work or at school or with our family. But before Allah, there's no reason to even attempt to make an excuse. We have to just accept fault. We have to express and demonstrate remorse. So, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. That's the first word they say. Then they say, وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And, O Allah, if you don't forgive us, or if you never forgive us, وَتَرْحَمْنَا, and don't have mercy upon us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, then we're doomed. Then we have no chance whatsoever. These were the words that they recited. Now, what were they doing in the second part of the dua? وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. They were so remorseful, and now they're proclaiming to Allah that, like, look who we just transgressed against. You're the only one who can forgive. You're the only one who can show mercy. And we have nowhere else that we can go except in your direction. We're at a complete loss. And then, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and then the dua ends. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ, and He forgave them. It's incredibly powerful, because in that entire statement of tawbah to Allah, there's no specific request or ask from Adam or Hawa alayhi as-salam. There's no mention of, oh Allah, so forgive us. There's no mention of, oh Allah, so have mercy on us. There's no mention of, oh Allah, overlook the mistake that we made. The remorse within their hearts was so powerful and so deep, it was sufficient for them to earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, it's not just a matter when we're turning ourselves to Allah and presenting ourselves before Allah, it's not just a matter of what we're asking from Allah. It's the attitude or the state that our heart is in when we're presenting ourselves before Allah. Now, I've given you the example of when we commit a mistake or a sin. So this applies to us, of course, anytime we make a mistake or sin. But if you look through the examples of the Sahaba and the Prophet, this remorseful state didn't just exist when they made a mistake. It was present all the time. There's narrations that mention the Sahaba, when they missed a congregational prayer in the masjid, it's not a sin per se, they would express remorse and regret. They would feel bad, they'd feel guilty. If they weren't able to join the Prophet ﷺ on a particular expedition, they would feel guilty, feel remorse. And the people of piety to this day, you know, when tahajjud gets missed in the morning, it affects them. They think deeply about it. They feel remorseful. It's not a fard, it's not required, but it's like, you are Allah, right? You've created this incredible opportunity and I'm missing it every single morning. You know, every salah that we miss in congregation in the masjid, the people of piety would feel remorse for it. A day that goes by without Quran, again, not a sin. It's not sinful to not recite Quran every day. But it's this opportunity that Allah has created that a sign of their excellence is that they express remorse, not just for the mistakes that they've made, but also for the opportunity that they've missed as well. And finally, just to highlight how ingrained this sort of state was, you know, of course, the most perfect example of this is the Prophet ﷺ. Again, going back, remorse or nadama, it's not only when I do something wrong. It's a sign of progression. A sign of progression. It's, you know, a person, when they develop themselves spiritually, eventually reach a state where, you know, they make mistakes, they repent, and then they leave the sins. Now they maybe miss opportunities, tahajjud, fajr, Quran, and then they repent, and then they correct those, and then it continues. And then they reach a state where, like, all of that's taken care of, but all they can see is how perfect Allah is and how imperfect they are. And then that becomes their state of remorse as well. Let me give you an example. There's one hadith. It's a beautiful hadith. There's so many layers to it. But Aisha radiallahu anha, she was at one night, the Prophet ﷺ was spending the night in her home. And she woke up in the middle of the night and she couldn't find where the Prophet ﷺ was. So she starts like looking around with her hands, and because, you know, he'd be sleeping right next to her. And eventually she feels his foot, and his foot was sort of in the in an upward position. She was touching the back of it. So she realized the Prophet ﷺ was in sajda. He was in sajda. It's middle of the night. It was his habit to pray in the middle of the night. So she starts to listen to what the Prophet ﷺ is saying in that sajda. And it's so beautiful. The Prophet ﷺ says several things. He says, and then this is a private conversation with the most perfect human being and speaking with perfection, which is Allah, right? So he first seeks refuge from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He seeks refuge from like his mistakes. He seeks refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continues. And then he says at the end, he says, "And O Allah, I cannot praise you the way you deserve to be praised. Only you can praise yourself." That's the pinnacle of remorse, right? I know the word may be hard to appreciate and understand, but that's the pinnacle. It's that I've now reached a state that like, I'm never going to reach that position or state in my life where I feel like I'm something before Allah. I'm never going to be good enough for Allah. Let's put it that way. I'm never going to be able to raise Allah in the way he deserves to be raised, or praise Allah in the way he deserves to be praised, or worship Allah in the way he deserves to be worshipped. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, when the Sahaba had asked him, the Prophet ﷺ had said that no person will ever enter Jannah except by the mercy of Allah. And the Sahaba thought about this, and subhanAllah, blessed be the Sahaba, that they reflected upon this and said, hold on, you're the Prophet of Allah. If anyone's ever communicated with Allah so perfectly, it's you. If anyone's ever done the right tawbah, it's you. If anyone's ever been a model Muslim, it's you. So of course, at least the exception to this rule should be you. And the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, he said, no. So they asked, Ya Rasulullah, even you? Like you, at least, if there's someone should be exempt from this, and that someone should be you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, even me. Even me. Like, meaning, and so you just see this embodiment of the Prophet ﷺ throughout his life, where he always humbles himself before Allah, always feels remorseful because he hasn't been able to praise Allah the way Allah Ta'ala deserves to be praised. You could see this in the example of when the Prophet ﷺ went to Ta'if. I've given this example many times, and he went on a mission for the sake of Allah, and they turned their back on him, and they harassed him, and they punished him. And when he came back, and he's bloody, and he's beaten, and then he complains to Allah that perhaps this is something wrong that he had done, and he basically expresses remorse to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sort of summary for today is that we think about remorse in the context of when we commit a sin and commit a mistake. And it's incredibly important in that context. When we ever falter, right, and we have to turn back to Allah and ask Him for forgiveness for it, the most crucial step, that first step, is to have remorse for the mistake that we've made. But even beyond that, as a person begins to progress spiritually, eventually they should reach this, you can say, almost consistent state or station of remorse, where because they're so constantly or consistently seeing Allah's perfection, and they're seeing their own imperfection, it almost sort of settles them into this place. So no matter what deed they perform, no matter what azkar they recite, no matter what Quran they do, no matter what effort they make toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they still see their own imperfection, the state of their heart, the imperfection of their heart, the imperfection of their deeds, the imperfection of their actions, and they compare it to the perfection of Allah. And they can't help but appreciate that no matter what I do, will never be worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. And that's the pinnacle of what nadama and the pinnacle of what remorse really is. It's the pinnacle of what remorse really is. So we should reflect upon this, right? In our state before Allah, you know, we live in a time and in a place where we make a lot of excuses, where we try to justify things, where, you know, I'm talking about things that we do wrong, let alone things that we do right. Right? We try to justify it. We make excuses for it. We try to come up with reasons why it's acceptable or it's okay. But when we appreciate Allah's perfection, you know, and we see the example of Adam and Hawa, alayhim as-salam, the example of the Prophet ﷺ, never creating an excuse before Allah and appreciating always His perfection and their relative imperfection, you know, it should remind us that we too are imperfect. And no matter what we ever offer to Allah, it's not going to be perfect. There has to be an element of nadama even in those things that we try to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And in it lies our success. In it lies our success. Now, this doesn't mean that we beat ourselves on the back or that we become depressed or saddened over our inabilities. Rather, we're empowered by it. We're empowered by it. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in sajda and he's saying to Allah that I can't praise you the way you deserve to be praised, only you can praise yourself. There's remorse in that statement, in the heart. But there's also this awe of the Prophet in his communication with Allah. Like, how incredible it is that there's some being so perfect that no matter what I do, I'll never be able to amount to something so worthy. Right? I mean, the believer is always stuck between, like, we're so constantly grateful of what Allah put in our heart and the opportunities He's given us and the iman that He's put and the fact that He's kept us as Muslims in this very difficult time and place, etc. Right? And then you just balance that, you know, with this gratefulness is there, and you balance that with remorse, which is that, well, that's all true, but ultimately Allah is still perfect and we are imperfect. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be regular in our repentance to Him and our istighfar to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be remorseful for the mistakes that we've made and our inconsistencies toward Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to truly appreciate His perfection and His greatness and His majesty. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.